Hi, this is Kate Magic and you're listening to the Raw Living Podcast. Raw Living is Europe's leading raw foods and superfood supplier, and I founded the company back in 2002. In this interview series, I'm talking to some of the people behind the brands that we offer on our shop to find out what exactly is the ethos behind the company. Not just the ingredients that they use and the processes that they use to create the end results, but I'm asking them other questions like, how do they show respect for the environment? How do they treat their workers and their relationship to the farmers who grow the crops? All the companies that we work with are putting huge amounts of dedication and commitment into creating products that are benefiting not just you, but also the whole ecosystem, the planet, the people. And with this series, I'm hoping to show insights into that. When you're shopping with these companies, you're really not just investing in your health, you're truly investing in a better world for us all. Today, my guest is Alicia of the Medicine Flower Company. I actually first interviewed Alicia. She was one of the first podcast interviews ever did on the Raw Living Podcast. And I just checked, that was back in 2011, so way over 10 years ago. It was a real joy to connect with her again. I really can't imagine my kitchen without being able to add the amazing flavours of the medicine flower extracts into my culinary creations. And Alicia is so passionate and knowledgeable about what she does. So yeah, it was great to get to chat with her. I'm also a huge fan of her Varigard products and sacred sage. So yeah, we're going to learn all about those. Stay tuned. Hi, Alicia. It's so good to talk with you today.
It's good to hear your voice too. Thank you.
So I don't actually remember the exact date, but I think you were one of the first podcast interviews I did, and that would have been over 10 years ago.
Amazing how time flies, Kate.
I feel like we were due for another catch-up. I do love your products so much, and they have been a staple in my kitchen consistently for well over a decade, and everyone I introduce them to really loves them so much. They just go crazy when I do my chef courses and I pass them around. They're all so excited by all the different flavors and how potent they all are. So maybe do you want to start by just telling us your background and how you came to develop this whole range?
Well, it goes back just from being so interested in flavors and fragrances and lotions and potions. I started out in the healing arts, and I was always fascinated by oils, flavors, essential oils. And so one thing led to another, and I was interested in using essential oils for aromatherapy. And what I found at that point was there was a great need for quality products at that time. There was nobody around that was really offering products that were what they said they were. So as time progressed, I was just, things evolved. And at one point, I was working with one of my partners, and they offered these flavors that we were working with at the time, or going to work with. And people were just going nuts over them. We would sample out different flavors to different people to try out. And as I said, it would just evolved. It evolved into going in the lab, working with the different materials that I had, also utilizing other partners that were in that industry that I would say, well, we like this, but we don't like that. Of course, vanilla was ever evolving because that's one of the best selling flavors. So it just kind of evolved, and people just were really positive. And I could say you almost had a vision that you knew that was the path to go down. Yeah. I don't know the sequence of what I'm sharing with you, but that's kind of the gist of it. It just evolved into a passion and a love for flavors and fragrances that evolved into what we are today. And it was always about the quality of ingredients. And it was always about serving to the highest good, Kate. It was like, how can we serve people? And also, you know, of course, make a living, you know. But that's kind of the gist of it.
Yes. Amazing. So, you know, you do a whole range of different things, but the bulk of what we offer is the flavor extracts. It's a proprietary process that you developed yourself, right? But it's similar to aromatherapy, to how you create an aromatherapy extract. Is that correct?
Well, I think it's a little different. I mean, I don't think people understand that flavors have a lot of aromas in it from the fragrance industry, or there's a lot of essential oils in there. So I developed some of them with my partners. I developed, you know, I would call myself more of a flavor alchemist than a flavor chemist, because some of the chemistry is quite extensive. Even extraction is very scientific. It sounds simpler than it is. That's one of the things that really said something to myself, because it was like, oh, here it is, a vanilla. Well, how do you get a vanilla flavor? Well, there's all different ways you can get a vanilla flavor. You can get it from the beans, or there's also, like, I don't know if you even knew this, but clove has vanilla in it. I think that we don't do this, but there's a tree that actually has vanilla in it. You know, it's kind of interesting. So going back to the development, you have your materials and you develop these different flavors, or like you said, you develop you guys also carry ViroGuard, where that's developed and compounded through pure essential oils, and then it's diluted, because most people don't like stuff strong, Kate. They really don't. You know, if you were in nature and you were smelling a rose, like giving an example, that's going to be light and gentle. Whereas if you had a drop of pure absolute, or auto, they call it, that's super strong.
Right.
But even as a professional, what they do, even in big flavor and fragrance houses, they always dilute everything, because that's how you actually experience the real vanilla, rose, or jasmine, whatever flavor or fragrance that we're talking about. And just that, rose is also used in fragrance, but it's also used in flavor,
right?
So just to say that point, because a lot of people don't realize that. There's so much to learn. I mean, even after all the years I've been in it, I'm still learning. There's so much to learn.
So you do this huge range. You were just telling me, is there over 100 flavor extracts that you do?
There is over 100 flavor extracts, yes.
Wow.
Are going to be coming out with more.
Can you just tell us about some of the best sellers? I have to say, the ones I probably use the most, if I had to pick a top 4 or 5, it would probably be vanilla, caramel, rum, raspberry, and coffee, maybe. Can you tell us what are some of your favorites and what some of the most popular ones?
I would add black cherry to that. I love black cherry.
Yeah.
I love that. I use that. I smell it. I mix it. I mean, it's just one of my favorites. And then the other one, let's see, I'm going to go down the, mint is another big popular one.
Yeah.
And then actually in your area, violet is very European. That's a good one. That kind of goes in waves. Sometimes we don't see much action, and then other times there's a lot of action. So I think also people look at flavors at what time of year and the season it's at. But I would say the vanilla, the caramel, the butterscotch, raspberry, you said rum, which we were out of for a while, but now I think we got that going again. And then there was, I love the black cherry. jasmine and rose is another ones that go cycle because it's very classic and traditional. Let's see. Oh, sometimes the nuts. People can't have nuts.
Yeah.
So they like the taste of hazelnut or almond.
Yeah.
And the other one that's a big one is banana. I mean, I love bananas. Of course, we're in the wrong part of the world for bananas. But, you know, depending on, you know, especially with your clientele, they might have, you know, there's too much sugar in it or too many carbohydrates. But I love bananas. I mean, there's nothing like a good banana, but depending on where you're at, maybe you're making a smoothie and you just add a couple drops of the banana to your smoothie.
Right.
I think I covered, I'm trying to think if there was any other ones in there.
So they're in a propylene glycol base. Can you tell us about that and why it's not something people should be worried about?
Well, I can relate to that because I always misunderstood it, and everything is chemistry, Kate. So propylene glycol can either be derived from what most people think, oh my God, you know, it's petroleum or something like that, but it's also a vegetable. So it's either a fossilized vegetable from what I understand. The base that we're using is actually from a vegetable source, which is not fossilized from what I understand. So it's sustainable, which is really good. There's so much clean, what I would say, chemistry, that it's all purified, because not always anything natural is necessarily good for you. So you're using such a small amount. And what is, it's a very traditional carrier for flavors. And like I said, some people don't like it. Some people do. From what I have gained to understand from it, and the reason why we use it is it just makes a really good dispersing agent, because even when you're making something, you don't want to put too much in there, just like in any kind of cooking, because it just, it goes the other way. And then it does taste chemical. In these concentrations, there you have to think about it. If you think about it, you're taking a hazelnut or you're taking a strawberry and you're trying to break it down into having that odor and flavor profile, but you want it to last too. So you don't want to have any bacteria or anything like that. So chemistry is beautiful, and that's why these different things are used. You know, it as a purist, and I can say this might be true with you, I'd rather just have the blueberry, but you can't do that. You can make a tincture out of it, but then it's still not going to taste exactly or have that profile. So in nature, you know, and going back to the PG and also in extraction, let's say coffee has 500 different active constituents that make up that coffee, which is chemistry, right? And ours is no caffeine. It doesn't have any caffeine because the process it goes through, there's no caffeine. But when you break that down, those different components sometimes can come from something else that's in nature to make it up. Just like I was expressing about vanilla and vanillin coming from clove. Sometimes it comes from benzoin or a tree. I don't know if I'm being clear with that. I just...
What about the rum? Because people find it hard to understand how it isn't alcohol.
Well, right, because rum is made from sugar, right? I mean, you know, just like caramel would be made from sugar and butter usually. But if you were taking those different constituents and you were breaking it down to having something that is sitting on the shelf and that's not going to go bad, you have to do something to it in order for it to be stable. Does that make sense? When people think, oh, you're squeezing a strawberry or the rum might have a little alcohol as a preservative in there because it's also a solvent. Meaning that solvent is not necessarily negative. You have to have a solvent in order to extract those constituents from whatever material you're doing. Uh-huh. So, and the only solvents that usually they use for extraction, generally speaking, and it's in more in depth than what we're talking about, is like alcohol or water or carbon dioxide. I think they also do cold pressing, just depending on, you know, if it's an orange. You know, sometimes they'll take orange oil and they'll distill it. Sometimes they'll cold press it. So it just depends on what the material is. But going back to your original question in this long dissertation I was just giving, propylene glycol is a water-soluble based, and it does give the ability to go into multitudes of applications. Because it's and you only need a couple drops.
Yeah.
So does that answer your question on that?
Yeah, it does. Can you clarify for the strict vegans about the caramel and the butterscotch are derived from dairy, right?
Well, so again, going back into nature, a butter would be made up of these different constituents. Well, when they extract from, let's say, butter, they're also doing all these different things that purify it to where it actually is lactose-free and there is no butter in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It would be considered vegan because of the process to which they're removing those constituents that would be considered that. Yeah. Like an example, the same thing with coconut oil and removing the carbons to make MCT oil. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So let's talk about the ViroGuard range, because I really love that. And it came out at just the perfect time in 2020. I always have the spray on me, especially when I'm traveling, like on an airplane or a long train journey. And I use the essential oil for so many different things. Can you tell us a bit about that formulation and, you know, what it's good for?
So that was actually around before 2020, because it was more of like our human bodies are amazing. And so giving it the right tools gives it the right, pathway to heal itself or to fight off viruses or bacteria. And the essential oils that were used in the ViroGuard are actually traditionally used for antiviral or antibacterial. So maybe in ancient times they might have not had essential oils, but they would burn rosemary or oregano. Mm-hmm. So it evolved for having a way to tell our immune systems, whoa, wait a second, you know, I need you to protect me from anything. I mean, of course, our bodies are going to do that anyways, but it just helps to boost it. It's just like adding a flavor. It's going to boost your banana or your blueberry. So you're boosting it to say, I don't want to have a chance of being exposed, or if I am exposed, you know, help protect me. So it kind of evolved out of tradition that it was basically an antibacterial, antiviral blend that I worked to have it smell good too. Because, you know, sometimes things are medicinal and they don't smell good. And then you don't, I know how I am. I don't want to use it if I don't like the smell of it. So, so that's kind of how it evolved. And then of course, when 2020 happened, I took that basic original formula and I made it into different offerings like orange or lavender, because all that was putting more orange into the basic formula so that it smelled more orangey than herbal. That's what I did. So
I love the smell though of the pure ViroGuard. What are some of the uses that people recommend doing with it?
You could actually use it for cleaning surfaces. Uh-huh. I spray it on my steering wheel. You know, I'll spray it on the door handle, even if I'm the only one. Sometimes we'll spray, we'll use it and we'll spray down the phones. We'll anything that's used, that's people coming in and out, we'll spray that. If I'm anytime I come out of a public area, I'll spray it on my hands, or I'll put a little on my hands. If I'm going on a plane and it's in, whether it's in the spray or if it's in the oil, I'll put a little tiny smelling sample right underneath my nose. So I'm smelling that. So it's basically signaling to my brain that this is going to protect me. I'm not going to get sick, right? Especially on the planes. let's see what else. Oh, I'll put it on my wrist too. It's mainly smelling it. So you're also putting it on surfaces where possibly other people, you know, at different times of year, there's more virus exposure than other times.
Yeah.
So I just tend to use that when I go out, or I feel like I'm coming down with something. If I feel like it, I very rarely get anything, but sometimes, you know, you get a little down, like maybe you didn't sleep good or you're working really hard. So I'll spray that on my hands. I use it a lot on my hands. I'll spray it on my hands and I use it a lot on the steering wheel. That's mostly my application. And then if I'm using the oil, I don't know if you got the roll on, but I will put a little bit, like I said, underneath the nose, and I'll put a little bit on my wrists.
Right.
Oh, and another thing I've done, Kate, is I've actually, if I felt something in my chest, I would actually spray it on my chest too, or rub it on my chest.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I use it in the sauna.
Oh, in the sauna. I've never tried that one. I'm going to try that.
Yeah. And I make a body scrub, like a home body scrub. I put it in that as well.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Mm. Yeah. Oh, you're doing salt and sugar with it then, right?
Yeah, salt and coffee I do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That sounds really nice.
It is, yeah.
So I think it's like, I think people can get creative, but I think using it and smelling it is what really helps to protect.
Yeah.
Prevention, yeah.
Yeah. The other range that you do that I really love is the sage, the sacred sage. Can you tell us about that?
I've been making that a long time. The first time I ever extracted the white sage, because it is the real white sage, was actually on my birthday at Mount Palomar down in Southern California. Mm-hmm. And to this day, it's a little bit of alchemical. There's always some of the original formula that goes back to 89 or 90. That's how long I've been making that.
Yeah.
When I'm making it, I still make it in small batches because I feel like it deserves the energy that it was created for, basically clearing and purifying, because there's a lot of traditional herbs in there. And it's not the common sage, it's the white sage that generally comes from Southern California. It was just something that evolved because people were having a hard time breathing, or in public areas, public gatherings, they wouldn't let you burn sage because of fire considerations.
Yeah.
So it evolved into, well, how about if we have something that we can spray that's smokeless that you can use without having to be concerned about not being compliant to fire marshal or something, or fire marshal. So, and it just, people just love the smell of it. And I also use other traditional essential oils in there. And that would be juniper and cedar. So, you know, just for clearing and purifying, basically.
Yeah, it's really good when you're traveling because you can't easily take a sage stick with you. But the spray is like really good if you want to space clear when you get somewhere.
That's what I use those sprays for. I mean, even ViralGuard, if I didn't have sage, I would, if I'm in a hotel And of course, you know, it's a hotel. So I like to spray everything down just to make it my own.
Yeah.
So that is what it's good for. And like I said, you can also use the Viral Guard. The only thing is Viral Guard doesn't have sage in it, but it has a lot of other things in there. Right. So.
But I think you can tell that sage, the sacred sage, has that extra high vibrational input into it. I think you can feel that when you spray it.
That's because we only make it in a good way. I never do anything if you're not like, well, I'm usually pretty up anyways, but not in a bad mood. And I also do prayers on it.
Yeah, amazing.
So it's just to help people clear, because there's just so many things that we don't see and so many things that we feel that we don't know, you know? So it helps to clear that space so that whatever your intention is, it has the ability to be present.
Yeah, amazing. And I know this, you have such a huge range that we're just not able to stock everything, but I think it's important to let people know, if they're listening to this, that if there's something that they do want that you carry, we can always get it in for them. Can you just quickly tell us about the difference between the gold and the silver and the premium lines?
Well, basically the difference is the application, because it depends if it's water soluble or if it's oil soluble. If you're going to be making various things, you can use the, as you say, premium, but we're going to be calling it platinum here soon. Just because it goes platinum, gold, and silver instead of premium. Does that, right. But the difference is that you might have a different application, whereas like some people don't want to use anything that has alcohol in it. So you have an option to use it in the platinum line, or you have an option to use it in the gold line, which is MCT, which is the organic coconut oil. And so that would only be oil soluble. I mean, you could probably add that to your coffee, but oil and water don't mix. So it might be better to put it in your raw desserts or your smoothies, because it would mix better. Actually, you can use any of those in your smoothies, all three of them. So I think number one, it's your application. What are you doing? And two, it's also your preference. So some people like the feel of the premium platinum line, right? Some people don't want any alcohol in it, so they're not going to use the silver line, but they're going to either go to the gold. So it's really a preference and application. And I know that you've been carrying the premium line, and I think that prior to us talking here, I think that it might just maybe select a few in the alternatives and see how that goes, because you literally can bring any of those in for anybody in any quantities if somebody wants it.
Brilliant.
Well, and also to mention that that you're also offering the flavors to go into somebody's at home, but they can also get larger quantities if they want to do manufacturing.
Yeah.
So they can call you guys about that.
Yeah, it's perfect for that, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of people that they'll be making, let's say, example, raw cakes at home, and then all of a sudden they go in business and they go from a half an ounce to a kilo.
Right.
Get that volume from you. And if you don't have the flavors in stock, then we can always send it to you. And it's not that hard, because we're always sending you stuff.
Yeah. Wow. So I've lost count now, but I think I've been using them for a dozen years. Like, I definitely over a decade, and I'm sure I'll be using them for decades more to come. So thank you so much for creating such a special and comprehensive range. I can't imagine my raw cuisine without being able to use the medicine flavor extracts.
I really appreciate it, Kate. That's what inspires me to keep going, and to keep doing what I do is that people appreciate it and it really helps them. So
brilliant. Alicia, thank you so much for your time today.
All right. Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Thank you for listening. You can check out the products we've been talking about by visiting Raw Living, rawliving.co.uk. And if you haven't got an account already, then do sign up. You get £5 off your first order. And also please do like, subscribe, and share this podcast. It really does help.